And as we go through the scriptures, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you have those words to speak to us, Lord. Help us to have a soft heart this morning, Lord. Help us to want to learn, Lord. And help us not to block anything out, Father, that you would have for us, Lord. Help us to come today as children, Lord, eager to learn and ready to listen. Help us just to sit still, Lord, focus on you. And help us ultimately, Lord, just to feel your love, Lord, as we sit here and we worship you, Father, and we listen to your word, Lord God. Help us to know that we're part of a family, Lord. Even when sometimes all of our friends or our family seem to abandon us, Lord. You're our great Father, and you love us, and we all belong together.
There is an endless song.
there's so many times where, you know, you first become a Christian and you think, this is it. I got it. I have freedom. It's wonderful. And then your past calls to you, or trials come, or, you know, anxiety gets in the way. But I love it when it says, I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again, because the Lord's always going to be there to pick us up. He's going to help us. He's going to say, you know what, stop holding that over yourself, because I've forgotten and I need you to forget it too to have freedom. I praise you for that, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that you forget my past.
That's good.
Help me to forget it too and be free from it, Father.
Amen. Help us to understand that we need to be the same person inside of church as we are outside of church. Help us not. not to be hypocrites, Lord. Help us to understand that we have freedom from all of those things. This isn't a list of rules you have for us, Lord God. Those are hindrances, Lord. Help us to understand that.
And I need you. Oh, I need you. Every step of the way. And I need you.
Coming, Lord God, and calling to us, or anytime we feel like we need to fit in, Lord God, or anytime our past calls us, Father, I pray, Lord, that we run to you, Lord. You are everything that we ever needed, Father. Help us to understand that, Father. Anytime we were lonely or looking for a companion or looking for something to fill that void, it was always you that we needed. Father, help us to run to you first every time, Lord. And when we don't, when we make mistakes, Father, help us to know we are forgiven, but that you've given us a way, and we don't need to go back to that, Lord.
here on this earth, and let it glorify
that can come from you, Lord. I know that you've changed me. You've made me into a wife and a daughter and of you and a mother. And Father, you've made me a new creation, Lord. But before I knew you, I was a disgusting, wretched person. And you made me brand new. Father, I praise you for that, Lord. I praise you for the work that you did in me. And all it took was obedience. I pray for everyone here right now that they know it is not because of what you do, but what the Lord can do in you. And if you're still trying to fight and still trying to make everything perfect, I pray right now you just surrender and you say, Lord, I can't do it. I've tried so many times. Father, I need you to do that change in me. Father, help us to surrender so we can have freedom, Lord. We pray for this day. We pray for your word just to pierce our hearts, Lord. We pray for those that are sick right now, Lord. We pray that you heal them. We pray for those that have broken hearts right now, Lord. We pray that you heal them too, Lord. And we pray for wisdom, Father, above all things. Amen.
You know, John the Baptist said something when his disciples were telling Jesus, everybody's telling John the Baptist's disciples said, hey, everybody's going to Jesus. Everybody's going to Jesus. He's leaving us. And John the Baptist said something really awesome. That song, I Am Nothing, he said, aw, hold on a second. And he said something, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. And if we're ever going to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what has to happen in our lives. We have to get out of the way. He must fill us. We must empty ourselves of ourselves, and he must fill us with him in Jesus' name. Isn't that true? Somebody said one time, if you guys remember from our teaching a couple weeks ago, you know, and there was somebody said something, I am not, but I know I am. Think about that. I am not, but I know I am. See, when you know the great I am, you know you're really nothing. But you also have the power of the living God that lives inside of you, that you can do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask for or imagine. That is our God. Amen. Well, you guys can really pray for me this morning. Why? Because the Lord just, he has a certain way of, how do I say this? He has a certain way of keeping me very humble. And so I remember as we started worshiping, the Lord reminded me, hey, remember all those, remember that illustration? Remember all your notes and all your PowerPoints that you have all in order? Remember all that? It's sitting in the printer at your house. So as we're singing this song, I have nothing. I have your pastor genuinely has nothing. However, we're going to go through the Word and we trust the Holy Spirit. Amen?
In your printer at home. Amen.
Yes, Rebecca.
The one quote that you just made from the Bible, he must increase and I must decrease. That was really a struggling word for me as a teenager that was trying to decide if I was going to follow Christ or not.
Yeah.
Because I misunderstood it, and I think a lot of young people do. I understood it to mean that what I like about myself, my personality, the things I enjoy, that if I'm going to be a Christian, then I'm just going to turn into a Jesus robot. And my personality, everything's going to be washed away, and I can't be funny, and I can't, you know, watch a movie that's not a Christian movie.
Yeah.
You know, it is really freeing to me when some wise individual, I don't know who it was, enlightened me. And they're like, no, like, God gave you your personality. He will just redeem it to be for Him. So whatever good things in your life that you maybe just were using wrong, they'll stay, they'll just be redeemed. So you're not losing. The only thing you lose is things that hurt you.
Yes.
Everything else just is better.
Just being. Amen. Awesome. Okay, well, don't forget we've got literally tons of bread back there. There are 3 bags full of bagels, loaves of bread. It's all yours. Take it home. We've got tons of baguettes and loaves, and it's all fresh from Panera from last night. It's here. It's just a gift to you in Jesus' name. Again, we don't take up any tithes or offerings here. They're given back in a little bird box back in the back. Free to give there. If you're interested in starting any ministries, just see Gary or Tom or myself, and we'd be happy to help you if you feel like the Lord is putting something on your heart. We just love to encourage you in that. And also, I'm not sure when this training class is coming back up. QuickBooks, any new information on that? I know you're doing so.
We have
Okay. No worries. But if you are interested in that, in the QuickBooks training class, see Mary Foreman over there. She's amazing, and she will be happy to help you in that. You guys already know about our Loner Library, our sermons online, and you know all about that kind of stuff. Okay, so Monday's Purity Study, Bible Study from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. See Gary for more details on our Monday Bible Study. And then our Wednesday Transformers, Josh and Amanda doing a great job. They're doing a series on suicide, and somebody told me, one of the adults, told me that it was a really great, great teaching. And so I think it's about 4-part series, Josh. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so 4-part series on suicide. And you know how important this is. Somebody actually called me last night when I was studying. And they don't go to this church, but their friend committed suicide. And, and it was so very sad because God was just starting to work in their lives, and they just gave up. They didn't understand yet who Christ is in their life. And this is really prevalent. The enemy wants to rob you of your hope, right? Of your future. That's what he does. He comes to steal and destroy. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to fill you to live an abundant life for him, to glorify him. And so I just encourage you guys, come on out there. We also had a couple of adults too with the kids. That was neat. A couple of parents came out too. I think that was kind of neat. So that is Wednesday. Thursday night, our barbecue and Bible study. And that's 6 to 8 p.m. And Tom, what are you teaching? Where are you, Uncle Tom?
Yeah. Second chapter, Hosea 15 to 23.
Okay. Second chapter of Hosea this Thursday night. Okay. And I think that's it for our Bible studies, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going to skip most of this stuff. However, okay, even though we just had a baptism, and continue to pray for these wonderful people. Okay, we just had a baptism. We are actually going to have another baptism. So there's a few more people that want to get baptized, and they've been telling me that. And so why don't we do this? Nick, how about, October 27th? Is that okay? Is that okay, Dave? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, is Bell S okay? Is Bell S okay for you? All right. So we've got a few folks. If there's anybody else who wants to get baptized, and basically being baptized, God said, hey, it's just an expression to all of us and to the world that God has done a work in your heart and you want to follow Christ. It's telling the world, it's identifying with him and his death, you going under the water, leaving that sins, leaving your lifestyle, leaving that yuckiness behind and coming out new life. It's a beautiful picture. And so what we'll do is we'll just have everybody who wants to come over to the house, we'll do a baptism, we'll just cook some hot dogs, and if anybody wants to come over, pray over them. Sometimes there's a prophetic word that somebody has. We ask the Lord, sometimes people will give a prophetic word for somebody. That happens usually every time. Or just a verbal gift, what you've seen God do or have done in their life. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to see and to give that to them. And so we just want to invite you out to show your support. And so we'll be doing that Sunday, October 27th. Hopefully that's right. All right. If there's not an October 27th, then I'll change the date and work. Okay. We are in the book of Colossians, still standing, or Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Now, since I don't have all my super helpful, amazing notes, I'm just going to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, Chris, could you grab one? Bring a few up. Just raise your hand. And a newly redeemed, kind-hearted Chris will deliver one right to your door. Yeah, it's been a few years. Well, after walking with the Lord for some years, you know, newly redeemed is the first, you know, 5 years. All right, we are in Colossians chapter 1. I think we got through an amazing 3 verses, so that's fantastic. We took you to this little triangle of cities, Laodicea, Hierapolis, and Thessalonica at Colossae. I think we did 17 through
21.
Yeah, 19 or 21 or something like that.
20.
And so we went over, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. We went over that. And then last week we said he. And who are we talking about when we're talking about this? Who's the he?
Jesus.
You guys are amazing. Jesus is before all things. We talked about that. He's back in that day, they were trying to make Jesus less than he was, just like they are today. And God's word says that he is the beginning. John 1:3, in the beginning the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him nothing was made that was made. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, it says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay, so do you remember, we even talked about how not only is everything by him, which is a pretty amazing, that was amazing, and everything is for him, that he's basically he planned it, and basically he planned it and he purposed it, but all things hold together in him. And we even talked about our own bodies, right? That being all things hold together. And remember what we talked about? What holds all things together? Just for example, in our bodies, what's the protein module? Do you remember?
Laminin.
I keep saying module, protein molecule. That's right. Our friend, laminin. It just so happens, out of the trillion, billion, gazillion things it can look like, you hit that light, Mr. Chris? It happens to look like a cross. Isn't that amazing? Basically, the things that hold you together, the cell adhesion molecule, laminin, basically is what holds everything together in your body. The sun is the image of the invisible God. It's the picture for us. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Without laminin, all your muscles, all your organs would just deteriorate. So he holds all things together. Isn't that amazing? God even gives us a picture of who he is in the protein molecule that holds our entire body together. That is amazing, is it not?
Amen.
Oh, but then again, maybe it's just a one in a gazillion, trillion, billion, majillion, I don't even know if that's a word, coincidence that it happens
gazillion.
To look like that.
It's gazillion?
Oh, but yeah. I love that. It, even Wiki, obviously not Christian, it says basically it holds the overall body structure, holds together because of laminin. In him, it holds all things together, but not just our bodies, but of course, what that means for us is that in a practical sense, you know, when Jesus was being struck again and again, you know, as they were hitting him with their fists and putting that bag of punching, our Lord and Savior, God, come down in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, as they struck him, he held together his knuckles as they twisted the crown of thorns together, there's place in his skull, and they mocked him. He held together the fingers that were twisting together the thorns as they were shouting, "Crucify him!" He held the lungs together, the breath provided for them in their bodies so that they can yell, "Crucify him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, here to die for them." And there he's holding together their lungs that are breathing out death for him. Let his blood be on our shoulders, let blood be on our heads and our children. As they mocked him, as they reviled him, as he held together their tongues and their lips, who did that to our Savior and Lord, he held it together. As they flogged him, the arms and the shoulders, as they spit on him, the saliva, all that, enduring the pain and the shame, the pain receptors, he held those together so that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He endured that for you, Richard, because he loves you, and he wants you to live a godly life. He endured that for you, Lisa, so that you can live beyond what you want to live for yourself. That's amazing to me. But not only that, Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. He sustains how many things?
All things.
All things by his powerful word. That's right. And we talked a little bit, just really very quickly, we talked a little bit about atoms. And I told you about this shirt. How somebody did something so cool. Okay, look what somebody got me. Isn't that awesome? They got me this shirt. Never trust an atom. They make up everything. I love that. That's hilarious. But basically, atoms hold all matter together. So not just your body held together by laminin. Basically, atoms hold up all things. For those of you guys who weren't here, okay, they make up all matter. Everything that's here, this podium, this thing, the microphone, all of it is made up of matter, and matter's made up of atoms, okay? Now, atoms, for those of you guys who don't know, in science class here, is made up of electrons and neutrons and protons, and in the nucleus of an atom that comprises all matter, right? These positively charged protons, right? Okay, when you hold two positively charged magnets together, it rips them apart, right? Well, this atom should be not being held together. Because they're all positively charged here, the neurons are neutral, it should be ripping apart, right? It should be, there's actually more power holding each atom together than there is when it's detonated. And you know what happens when an atom is split?
A lot of energy.
Atomic bomb, that's right, that's where we get our atomic bomb. Kaboom! Right? Right? When the Lord loosens his hold on that, I mean, can you imagine? This is what they call it. Now, this isn't even Christians, right? They call it strong glue, atomic glue, nuclear glue. They call it God glue. Hello? These are not Christians that call it that, okay? You see what I'm saying here? He holds all things together. All matter is held together by him. That is our God. That is our God. And I think I told this. I'm not sure if I did because I don't have all my notes. But if you took one tiny little gram of protons at the North Pole and a tiny little gram, 1 gram at the South Pole, right? Both positively charged, you know, 10 miles of rock and core and magma and earth and all that, it would take 50,000 pounds of pressure at each end to stop it from ripping apart. Okay, that's how much power. So imagine if the Lord were to loosen his hold on all things. And we talked about that as well. It says in 2 Peter 3:10-11, which I'll show you in a second, the same word is used. It says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That word here, melt, okay, with a great noise, and the elements shall melt. It literally, it's a luo in the Greek, and it literally means to dissolve, or literally, more literally, to loosen. So when Jesus loosens his hold on all that matter, that's what's going to happen. That is amazing to me. Mark.
You know, Jesus holds all that matter together, but in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word truth is the essence of matter. It is that which everything is made of. So he is everything that all of creation was made up, and he holds it all together.
Isn't that cool? The same word here. In fact, then he goes on to say in 2 Peter 3:11, he says, since everything will be destroyed, dissolved, loosened in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Not only does he hold your bodies together, he holds all matter together. And yet there are people saying, oh, I don't want to live for Jesus, you know. I can't be bothered with him, you know. He's a Jesus guy. Oh, he's just holding all things together. He's holding the very tongue that you're speaking that with. But that's how merciful he is. That's our God. You ought to live holy and godly lives, set apart. It's the same word Jesus used when he, the exact same word in Matthew 6:19, when he said, whatever will be bound in heaven, bound on earth, and whatever will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven, same exact word. So that means he held the nails together. That means he held the cross together. That means everything. He goes on to say, he is the head of the body, which is the church. We talked about that, that basically we don't place ourselves under a Baptist or a Calvary or a pastor or an elder board or a director's board. We're here under Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Never get that out of order. A lot of churches do. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for his church, which is his body. Ephesians 1:22-23. We talked about how he is the beginning. That's right. Alpha and the Omega, Revelation 22. He is the firstborn from among the dead. The prototokos, the preeminent one, never to die again. So that in everything he might have preeminence. And so we have to ask ourselves this question. Does our Lord really have preeminence in every area of your life? That means first place. That's what he wants. That's what he expects. That's our God. We don't want to compartmentalize our lives like these old TV dinners, right?
So is Mary Stanley.
I got my job here. Oh, I lie, I steal, I do what I want. You know? Oh, I love Jesus, right? But that's my work, you know? Yeah. I'm great at church on Sunday, but I beat my kids during the week. Oh, no. Are you kidding me? We cannot compartmentalize. He is the Lord of all. He is the preeminent one. We have to say, what area in our life, Lord, are we not giving you the first spot? Is it on the internet? Is it what we listen to? Lord, will you help me? Who you are, the preeminent one. Because I can't do it myself. You do it for me. Okay, we talked about how the next verse is how basically Jesus Christ is the fullness of I can't remember what's the exact verse. Hold on one second. I gotta look at it. With my old eyes for a second. Thank you, Chris. And it says, for God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So that fullness reminds us of when he used to dwell in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, and he used to dwell in the temple, and now he dwells in you. God could dwell anywhere, but he wants to be so close to you. He wants to be right there with you. He, God, Holy King of Kings, says, I want to dwell in this. Oi. Or this. Oh. Or this. Double oi.
Yeah, scary.
Oi, oi. Who is this man?
That's how much he loves us. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is ahead over every power and authority. And from his fullness, we've received grace upon grace. Pours out of us like living water. And then he goes on to say, in the next verse here, in Colossians chapter 1, you know, when it says that he reconciled all things to himself, you know, things on earth, things in heaven, making peace through his blood. I started thinking about that. He reconciled all things to himself. That means he brought back, he made peace with. And I just think that's such a cool thing. And I thought of this verse in Luke 19. He says that he brought all things back. Even the ground was cursed when Adam and Eve sinned, right?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about, I used to think this in a metaphorical way. In Luke 19:39, when he came in and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then Jesus came into Jerusalem, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're saying you're the Messiah. You're the King of Kings. Stop them from praising you. And Jesus said, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. He holds all things together. I wonder now, again, I used to think it's metaphorical. I wonder if, no, you don't understand. They would have cried out. Mm-hmm. And when it says he reconciled all things to himself, I don't want anybody to think, oh, well, since Jesus died on the cross, well, good then. You know, I'm an American, you're an American, Jesus died on the cross, God bless America, hallelujah, I'm saved, we move on. Kind of a universal sort of thing. Listen, he died for all of us, that whoever would believe in him, put their faith and trust in him, would not perish but have everlasting life. It says this in John 1, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Does that make sense? And it talks about this blood in this last verse in Colossians, blood shed on the cross. Why is there such a big deal about blood? What? Yes, Hebrews 9:22. Yes, actually, I wasn't supposed to bring that up yet, now that I remember. But Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ is a big deal. It cleanses us from all sin. You know? Ephesians 2, 13 through 19, 13 and 19 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, the next verse is going to say, hey, you were an alien. You were an enemy of God. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That bridges the divide for us. So then, you're no longer strangers. You're no longer aliens. But you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's family. That's amazing to me. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that bridges the gap for us. It's almost like sinful man is over here on this side. And holy God is perfect over here. And nobody's going to jump this chasm. This is sin here. Except the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross bridges that gap for us. A sinful man can go to a holy God.
He has to take his way, though.
It's his way. Right, right. You can try diving. You can even try the long jump. It's not going to be anything. All of our righteousness, all your good works, you think you're a good person? the very best good works you could ever do, the Bible says, it's like filthy rags. I want to get into what that really means. But it's nothing. Okay? The blood of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, verse 21, that you were once alienated from God and enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, or as some of your translations say, which I like better, as shown by your evil behavior. So you were once alienated from God. Do you know what that word means in the Greek? This is really, I thought this was really cool. That word alienates, it means shut off from fellowship. You were once alienated. Do you remember in the garden? Jesus would come down, God would come down, and he said he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. They had intimate fellowship with God. But when they rejected God, and they said, God said, hey, I only have one rule for you. Just do this one thing, okay? I'll provide everything for you. Perfect paradise place. Oh no, we want to be like God. Fellowship was broken. They were cast out of the garden. Remember that? So that alienated means shut off from fellowship. It literally means, in the Greek, it means shut off from fellowship and shut out from intimacy. That's what our sin does for us, and we all have it. We all sin. There's every single one of us. And it says we're enemies in our minds and in our behavior. Listen, because of that sin, we got stinking thinking, don't we?
Yep.
If you don't let Christ in your heart to renew your mind, to renew your heart, you've got some sinful stinking thinking that you're not going to be able to keep control of. And that's going to be shown by your evil behavior. And some people are like, well, Pastor Darren, I'm not an enemy of God. You know, that's a little harsh, okay? I'm kind of like the Switzerland of people. I'm not really against Jesus, you know. We're just, you know, sort of in the middle. Well, if that's you, and that's where you think you are, okay, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He wants you to understand something. He says, anyone who isn't with me, Jesus said, opposes me. Or another translation I like better says, is against me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So here's the deal. You are either giving your life over to Jesus Christ and following him, right? Or you're actually working against him. You're not a Switzerland. You're not neutral. You're either for him or against him. Well, I just haven't made a choice. Your no choice is a choice. So right now, if you're no choice, you're making yourself an enemy of God. God is saying you're actually working against him. You can't help it. It's your sin nature. It's how you think. I like the message in this particular Matthew 12:30. And I love this. This is war. Says, and there's no neutral ground. If you're and it's a wonderful name. That's right, it's the name of Jesus. That's okay. I'm alright with it. Hey, that's alright. Hey, I love it. I don't know if that could have been timed better. But here's the deal. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, this is war. There's no neutral ground. If you're not on my side, you're the enemy. If you're not helping, you're making things worse. Wow. Yes, Elijah.
It reminds me of Revolutionary War. You couldn't just stay neutral.
It's Jesus. What a wonderful name. So basically, you know, just something to make sure we all understand, we're not sinners because we sin, because we're the We sin because we're sinners. Does that make sense? We sin because we're sinners. It's intrinsic to our nature. Apart from Christ coming in and giving us a new nature, a new heart, a new mind, a new thoughts, new desires. Does that make sense? Without Jesus, you will never have that. You'll try to be a good person. You might do good for a little bit, and then you're going to go flat. Oh, we're going to get through chapter one. Is that out loud? That was just in my head. I'm sorry. It says then in verse 22, but now he has reconciled you. It means brought back. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. Through Christ's physical body. Through the death. Through death. To present you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation or free from blame. I love that. So husbands, if you're ever in trouble with your wife, just say, I'm free from blame. The Bible. Yes. It says to present you holy in your sight without blemish or free from accusation in his sight. Okay? That doesn't mean, listen, if you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you're going to do everything perfectly, does it? So if there's a Christian who does, then I'm going to say, you're a liar. You're going to fall sometimes. You're going to stumble. You're going to go, you know, two steps forward, one step backwards. You know, sometimes there's going to be a prodigal. They're running out. I don't need this Lord thing. I don't need this God thing. And then they're going to be eaten with the pigs. And they're like, Jesus, I just need you. But he says, you're holy in his sight. That just means set apart. That means dedicated to God. Don't be thinking like you have to wear a really nice clothes, you know, the whole priest outfit. It's been set apart. And it says without blemish, and that without blemish was words used by the priests in the Old Testament as they would inspect the sacrifice. When people would bring a sacrifice for their sins, right? They would bring a lamb or something like that, or dove or something like that, and the priest would inspect it, and if it had a spot, sometimes they'd give him shabby stuff, and they're like, nope, can't use it. It has to be without spot, holy, without blemish. They can say, okay, this one's holy. This is without spot or blemish. And we'll use that one for the sacrifice. So too, God sees you as a living sacrifice, holy and blameless. Now that blows me away. Because you're thinking to yourself, I know I'm not holy. I know I'm not blameless. But yet, if you're in Christ, you have to rework your thinking. Because that's how God sees you. Holy and blameless in his sight. The reason why that young girl killed herself, right? Because she was never taught. She never rewired that thinking. She had all those years of people telling her she's dirt and she's nothing and she's just something to be used and disposed of and condemned and maligned. And that's what she thought of herself. Now Christ has forgiven all those sins. But yet, sanctification takes time where God rewires that. No, this is how I see you, daughter. This is how I see you, son. This is who you are. You are holy, free from blemish and accusation. It even says from accusation. The double is there. It says that he's the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12. Then he's accusing you day and night. And God's like going, no, I can't hear you. It's my son. It's my daughter. You have to understand, rework that thinking. Holy and blameless in his sight. In 1 second. Ephesians 1:4, it says he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That blows me away. Ephesians 1:4. It says he chose us before the foundation of the world as we should be holy and blameless before him. I love that. That is amazing to me. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. That's amazing. That's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, if you give yourself over to Jesus Christ and he comes in, he makes all things new. He starts to give you a new heart and new thinking. You have to start renewing your mind as God's word washes over you continually and cleanses you. Cleanse that dirt, that junk from your past. It needs to cleanse it all. It needs to hose it down. Right? And some of us got a lot of junk and stinking thinking, don't we? Some of us believe that we're dirt, we're garbage, we're jerk, we're nothing, we're losers, we're whatever. Come on.
Yeah.
And the Lord has to rework that and says, that is not how I see you. That's why he says, if anyone is in Christ, he has become a new person. The old life is gone. Just like Amster was saying up here, it's gone and the new life has begun. Thank you, Lord. So when the enemy brings that stuff back up from your past, oh no, this is what you are. Don't you? In your mind, you just say, get out. Get out. That's not who I am. Now, even if you're thinking, that might be who I am, that's not who God says you are, who you are. And who he says who you are is what counts. Amen?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, hurry in. Now, up, see, now somebody's going to say in verse, what is that, 25, is it?
23.
Okay, so present you wholly in his sight without blemish and free. Well, what's the catch? And then somebody might read the next one. If you continue in the faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Oh, there you go. There's the catch. If I do this, so this has caused some people to think, okay, so I have to do all these works, and I have to muster it up if it's up to me. But it's not really saying that. It's saying that holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, since, it's almost like saying, since you continue in the faith. In other words, continuing in the faith is a sign that you're really saved. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's not if you do all these things and you work your way, you're going to be holy and blameless. No, he's saying, since you are holy, blameless, free from accusation, you're going to continue in the faith. You're going to stand firm. Again, doesn't mean you're not going to slip or stumble or fall sometimes, but this is what you're going to do. Okay? So, in your Christian life, if you've been a Christian for any amount of years, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see a lot of people profess the name of Jesus, right? And then you're going to see, they're not really, you watch them, they're not really saved. They don't really follow the Lord. There's no change in their life. Right? Why is that? I don't understand. I thought if we're, listen, Jesus said, he who began a good work in you, right? Is what? Do you guys know it? What is it? He began a good work in you is what?
Faithful.
Yes, he's faithful to complete it. He who began a good work in you is what?
Faithful to complete it.
He is faithful to complete it. Yes. So listen. They asked Billy Graham one time how many people he thought on average went up and actually really gave their hearts to Jesus. He said, probably only about 25% be walking with the Lord. So another one said, that's right. Another one said, survey said about 10%. But here's the bottom line. I say all that and say this. Okay, you missed out on my message. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. I won't read the whole thing for time's sake. But in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus gives a parable, and most of you already know it. But basically, it's a parable of a farmer that scatters the seed. And he scatters it, and some fall along the path where the birds of the air come and eat it up, and some fall on rocky places and where there's not much soil. And so it springs up quickly, but because it has no root, when the sun comes up, and they get scorched, and they die. And then some come up, and they're choked to death because of the weeds, the cares of this life, the cares of this world. but then some grow to bear fruit. And when we're talking about the parable of the sower, the seed is the word of God that's being sown right here. We're throwing out the word of God right here. And there are some people that it's falling right now on hard ground. There's rocks. And the birds of the air, Satan's coming right up, and they're going, geez, they're holding all things together. Loser. There are folks saying that right now. I don't need this God stuff. Enemy's coming right in to pick it up. There's some, they're saying, oh, Jesus, I love him, yeah, woo! I'll take that. I love this Jesus. Oh, wait, there's suffering involved? Wait, I just thought he was going to make my life better. Wait, there's hardship? People aren't going to reject me, are they? So I love to be loved. Oh, there is? There's hardship? There's suffering? Oh, I don't want that. And when persecution comes, they get burned up because they don't have any fruit. But they're saying the words, right? But they don't really have any root. It hangs up for a short while, but never has any root. Some are choked out by the weeds, all the cares of the earth. There's no fruit. But Jesus said that every good tree is going to bear good fruit. He said, you will bear fruit, fruit that will last. I've appointed you to bear it. There's some that are going to grow. There's some that's going to bear fruit. Does that make sense? So don't be discouraged when you see some. You're going to probably see many in your lifetime. Go this way. Go that way. Don't judge their hearts because it could be a prodigal just eating with the pigs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you didn't say. You'd be surprised. It comes to, but the proof will come out if they continue to persevere in Christ. That will show where their heart's really at. I've learned not to even go off of the lip service. I don't even go off the lip service anymore. You just watch. You see the fruit. All right. Let me go back to Colossians here. Oh. All right. Back to Colossians. He goes on to say, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And I love this. People, that word servant, first off, just means, some of your Bibles say minister, but that's what it means, servant. It means slave. It means waiter. So here's the deal. Well, I don't want to be in the ministry. I've talked to people. I want to be in ministry because I want to make a lot of money. I've actually had talked to pastors that while I'm waiting for the, people who want to go into full-time ministry so they can make lots of money. And some do. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, how sad. You have the whole wrong mindset. You know what a minister really is? You want to be great in the kingdom of God. You be a little foot washer. Touching your feet is probably creeping out right now. That means you want to know who are the biggest ministers here in this church? You look around to see who's serving the other people. Because when you're young and you don't know anybody, I don't mean age-wise, I've watched older people, they're immature, they just want to be served. Well, church needs to be doing this stuff for me, and anyway, I'm never going to work. When you grow, you can become a minister. You really want to become a minister? You want to be great in the kingdom of God? You be the servant. Pastor, how can I help you? How can I bless others here? What way can I encourage people? That's the mindset. When you're mature in Christ, it's the servant mentality. Does that make sense? So if you want to be a minister, you start by serving. Ask Uncle Tom. You don't know what to do? Ask Gary. Ask me. Ask Uncle Tom. We've got a million things for you. But I only want to serve in certain ways, like a ministry. If you're a servant, you serve in every way. Whatever way God's calls you, right? You want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you be a slave to all. But it also says the gospel. Not the gospel. And this can kind of get confusing because people, what's the gospel? And Sherry's here, so she can kind of probably do a better job, but I'm just going to tell you what I got, and this is truth and light. So don't totally criticize me if you're like, well, it doesn't have this part. This is just a basic. This is the gospel. Okay, the gospel is good news. That's what it means. The gospel means good news. God is saying, I got good news. news for you. Woo-hoo! But in order to give you the good news, God has to start off in the gospel giving you the bad news. Okay? First, here it is. Gospel. You notice that right down the side there? Oh, that was cute. Anyway. It says God. Okay, G in gospel. God created us to be with him, right? We just read in Colossians, right? All things were made by who?
By him.
And for who?
Him.
And in who? Is he holding all things together?
Him.
Yes. You get it? You are not here for you. Life is not about you. Get over yourself. You are here for God's purposes. If you try to live this life for your purpose, no matter how high and lofty it is, you will end up being one miserable person. Because you're not fulfilling what he's called you to. Well, I look like the Italian. You're not fulfilling what God's calling you to do. Reminded me of my grandma right to bed. That's the dude there. That's the dude. God created us to be with him. But the O in gospel, our sin separates us from a holy God. Okay? We all have it. It's kind of like a disease. You get it when you're born. It's part of our nature. It's in the DNA. You can't get rid of it, right? We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's part of who we are. From that Adam and Eve in the garden. So sin separates us from. There's no way to get to God's holy purpose. So that sin separates us. So that's why we need the gospel. The good news. Okay? Sins. The S in gospel. Our sins can't be removed with good works. We already went through that. The best you could ever do is like filthy rags compared to them. We're all sinners, every single one of us. The P in gospel. P is paying for the price for our sins. Jesus died and rose again. He was that sacrificial lamb. By his blood, you can be saved. Not only did he die the death and take all the punishment of all the sins that we've accumulated, right? He also took the wrath of God. He also lived the life that we couldn't live, holy and perfect. He's like, I'm giving you my life that I lived, and I'm giving you the death. I'm taking all the punishment for you. That is who he is. Amazing. The E in gospel. It's for everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. The Bible says he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. It's just clear. Okay? It's supposed to be that way. But the neat thing is that anyone who trusts in him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Some of you guys in here are nasty people. It's true. And if you aren't, well, I'll just say, I'm a nasty person. Gary's going to rebuke me now. Then he goes on to say, listen to this, it's true. Like Amy was saying up here, nasty. She's a nasty person. So am I. When I see my sins in the light of God's holiness, I realize we're not just talking about what I do, we're talking about what I think. I could have put on, I was a pretty good actor. You know what I'm saying? I'd have made a fantastic hypocrite. I could put on the mask. Hi, how you doing? So I was really great in sales. Mask gone. Well, I'm a pretty bad person. But Jesus says, everyone who trusts in him will have eternal life. And the L in gospel, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. When you accept him, he and you say, God, I want to receive you in my life. I don't want to live for myself anymore. I know I'm a sinner. I know you died on the cross for my sins and you rose again from the dead. I realize I'm not living for you. I'm living for myself. I'm living for my wife. I'm living for my work. I'm living for the dollar. I'm living for the drugs. I'm living for the whatever, the sex, whatever it is. I'm living for just not you. I want to give it all up, and I want to follow you. Will you come into my life? Will you help me? I want to be that temple of the Holy Spirit that Amy spoke of. I want to walk around, and I want to show people your glory in me. Will you do a work in me as I just walk with you, as I surrender with you daily? will you do that work in me? Life for Jesus starts now. You become that new creation. He puts his Holy Spirit. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You! Because he loves you. That is the hope of glory. That's amazing! Is it not? That's the gospel. All right, we'll finish with these last verses here. Don't let it make sure I don't sit down on that stool. Something's not me. He goes on to say these last few things, and I'll. It says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you." Remember, Paul's writing this in prison. He's writing this letter to encourage other people from prison. And he's like, "Now I rejoice in what I've suffered for you." He's been put there because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And I fill up in the flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, somebody asked me a week or two ago, "What does this mean? Does this mean that I need to suffer more because Christ didn't do it on the cross enough?" Absolutely not. This word is never used when it's talking about the atonement of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about that. On the cross, in John chapter 19:30, don't remember if there's a slide I started to, but I can't remember. Yes, thank you, Lord. Do you remember this, Josh? Mm-hmm. What's that word?
Telestai.
Do you remember that?
Telestai.
Yeah, that's right. What does it mean? Do you remember?
Paid in full.
It means absolutely paid in full. Jesus said on the cross, "Thinking of you, thinking of me, it is finished, completed." They used to put that tetelestoi when there was a prisoner, somebody was in prison, like a debtor's prison, and they owed something they couldn't pay. When it was totally paid, they would mark it tetelestoi. That means it paid the debt and he's free to go. That's what he's saying. I've paid the debt for you. You're free to go. That's Jesus. It's finished. When he's talking about suffering, he's talking about sharing in the sufferings that Jesus did in his ministry, not in the atoning work on the cross. Does that make sense, guys? He says, "I have become a servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness." That's why we do that here. We do the Word of God. That's why we're going through 1 Kings all the way through. We're going through 1 Samuel all the way through. We're going through Hosea all the way through. We're going through Colossians all the way through. So we can present you the whole Word of God. And when it's talking about sufferings, listen, that's a part of it. Because if they rejected Jesus Christ, they're going to reject you too. Philippians 1:29 says, "For it has been granted to you." That's almost like a gift. It's a weird way to think of it. "On behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer with him," or to share his sufferings. Jesus said, "Hey, if they rejected you, they're going to reject me too. No servant is greater than his master." So if you're being persecuted, that means that's actually a good thing. It says all those who live godly lives will be persecuted. You're sharing in his sufferings. That's what it's talking about. Paul said, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, and I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I want to share in his sufferings. I want to suffer with him." Or 1 Peter 4:12, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at these trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, I want you to be very glad that these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's all revealed." I love that. I love it. And then he goes on to say in his last verses, he says, verse 26, "I presented the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints." And then he goes on in verse 27 and 28. "To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Lord of Lords, choosing to live in us so that he can be with us, so that he can help us." and we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And to this end, I labor, struggling with all whose energy? His energy, which so powerfully works. I love this New Living Translation. So everywhere we go, we talk about Christ to all who will listen, warning them and teaching them as well as we know how. I love that. We want to be able to present each one to God perfect because of what Christ has done for each of them. This is my work, and this is your work too, by the way. And I can do this only because of Christ's power that works within me. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Sherry, come up here for a second. I'm so sorry. I know you didn't expect this.
Mrs. Brower.
I did it.
I don't even know if normally our mic people are missing some people here today, so I don't even know if this mic is working or not. Yes, yes, yes. Thanks. I'm so glad you're here too. Really? Praise the Lord. Well, actually, as I was just going to pray, I love when she, I don't know if you just hear what she said because the microphone's down, but she just said the Holy Spirit led her here today, and I love that. And even as I was just going to pray close, because that's what we normally do, right? Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit said, stop. It's like I want you to have Sherry pray and give an invitation. So we're just going to stop, and we're just going to be obedient to the Lord, because this is His church, isn't it? So anything God puts on your heart,
okay, so
close us
those
up.
Those of you who can, let's kneel. Those who can't, don't. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know your Holy Spirit is working today. And God, I just pray for the person who's here today who needs to know you as Lord and Savior. Lord, there will come a day when there will come those before you that say, Lord, Lord, and he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, of sin, I never knew you. Lord, I pray that that not be anyone in this room. So, those of you who are listening, if you choose to believe in Jesus today, that means you bow before him, you choose him as Lord and Savior. Please do not leave here without talking to one of us so we can show you in God's word what your decision is. Lord, I just pray for each person here, their willingness to come and put other things aside, that you would bless them. Lord, bless this church. And by church, I mean the people in it. Lord, grow this place that they would have to build because there are just too many bodies in this place. Lord, we pray for the people who are ministering to the children next door. Lord, I pray for the school that goes on during the week, Lord. It is so needed. Lord, we pray that you bless them financially and that you help them to see the needs and hearts of the children that come. And Lord, may we be a light in a dark world. Help us to love on others. Help us to apply what we've learned today. Lord, bless Darren and his family. Help them not to be weary in well-doing. Lord, I also pray for Gary and Tom and the other gentleman who was mentioned. Lord, help them to be faithful. And Lord, I also pray, I know there's some spiritual warfare going on, and it's in another church. Lord, I just pray that you bind it in the name of Jesus, and Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, sister. God bless you guys. We love you. Look forward to seeing you this week.